The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. And then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the things that I do every week during my sermon preparation is I try to live with the texts. So that means I read them, and then I read them again, and I pray about them, and I read them some more, and I read some commentaries, and then I read them some more, and I pray some more. And I ask God to open up my eyes and my heart to what's going on in those texts. And this week, to me, the theme has been so clear. You may remember Joseph's brothers stole his cloak in our Genesis lesson and tossed him into the pit and then sold him into slavery. And in our lesson today, Joseph forgives them all. He saves their lives, even though his brothers threatened his. Paul's letters to the Romans find them arguing over what they eat and judging one another. Paul urges them to live in community and relationship with each other, to not be the judge of another, but to forgive each other. And in our gospel from the book of Matthew, good old Peter is at it again, asking Jesus if forgiving 7 times is enough. 7 was more than the 3 traditionally expected of the rabbis. So it seemed to Peter like 7 like was a very generous offer. But Jesus says that's not enough. So this week I've spent a lot of time thinking about forgiveness. I've thought about the times that I struggle to forgive. There's the bully who made my life miserable in the 7th grade, tearing me down in front of the few friends that I had. There are those who stepped on me as they climbed their own career ladders. The friends and the relatives along the way who have said things that hurt me and thus hurt our relationships. And every time I think about these, I get angry or upset at the individual. But I also feel guilty about not being able to let the issue go, even decades later. It still hurts. It can be hard to forgive. I also thought this week about the times that I'm the one who needs forgiveness, but I struggle to forgive myself. The times I've been the one to say something hurtful. The times I've left someone out.
The times that my mind replays over and over again in the darkness of the night. And based on the over 300 books Amazon offers with the word forgiveness in the title, I'm not alone in struggling with forgiveness. Why can't we just forgive ourselves and others? Forgiveness is one of those very clear lessons of Christianity. It's non-negotiable, actually. Forgive others as God forgives us. We likely know that offering forgiveness will improve our health. Forgiveness has been known to reduce blood pressure. It reduces and releases anger, anxiety, and stress. It increases hope and compassion and wellness. And who doesn't want that? Forgiveness also allows relationships to mend between me and another, and between me and God. Forgiveness releases us from the sins that bind us. Let's be very clear, though, that forgiveness does not mean that we excuse the evil done against us. It does not mean that we can't and shouldn't defend ourselves. It doesn't mean we condone the behavior. Forgiveness doesn't even mean we must reconcile ourselves to whoever has offended us. Forgiveness, though, is acknowledging what happened, mourning our losses, and then letting God heal us and heal the community. But why is forgiveness so hard? I love preacher and teacher Barbara Brown Taylor's take on all of this. She quips that Christianity is a religion in which it's the sinners who have all the advantages. Someone can step on our feet 50 times and we are supposed to still keep on smiling. They can gossip about us over and over, and we're to just keep on acting like nothing happened. The burden is on me to forgive them. And it does seem like the sinners have all the advantages, doesn't it? Seems like that might be true in our parable today, too. There's a king and a servant. The servant owes the king 10,000 talents. For the math geeks in the crowd, one talent is 130 pounds of silver, and it would take about 15 years to earn a single talent. So 10,000 talents is, give or take, 150,000 years of work. 150,000 years of paychecks. It's impossible to pay that back. But yet the king forgives the debt. I tried to come up with something this week in today's terms that I could use for comparison. And I couldn't think of anything. And I think that's the point. This debt is so enormous that we can't even fathom it. And yet the debt is forgiven. That is one lucky servant and one crazy generous king. The parable continues, though, and the plot thickens. The servant whose debt was forgiven went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him money, 100 denarii to be exact. The forgiven servant seized this guy by the throat and demanded that he pay what he owed. And for the math geeks again, which includes me, by the way, 100 denarii is roughly equal to 100 days of work. That's certainly not a trivial number, but it's not entirely impossible either. That's kind of like paying off some of our credit card debts these days. But this first servant refused to forgive the debt and has the second servant thrown into prison. He had 150,000 years of work forgiven, and he can't forgive 100 days. We all know that these parables can be tricky little boogers, so what does Jesus want me to do with this parable today? I don't think that Jesus is asking me to be like the king and forgive 150,000 years of debt, an amount that I cannot even comprehend. I can't do that. Like the servant, I have trouble forgiving 100 days of debt, let alone 150,000 years. Instead, I hear Jesus asking me to rejoice that I have been forgiven. My debts, my sins, and my trespasses, 150,000 years of my sins, all forgiven by God. Such unbelievable forgiveness and grace has been given to me, even though I don't deserve it. And accepting this forgiveness and then living in that grace will change my life. It's when I accept this forgiveness that I too can then forgive. But how do we, in perpetual need of grace, accept that grace and forgiveness that God so freely offers us? How do we, unlike the servant, allow ourselves to be changed? To receive God's grace and forgiveness, we first need to admit that we are sinners and need to be forgiven. This morning, as a community, we confessed our sins. We said, quote, "We confess that we have not allowed your grace, God, to set us free. Forgive us and stir us." We say that, but do we listen to ourselves? We then heard what's officially called the absolution. We heard, quote, "God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional." What absolute joy this should bring. Our sins are forgiven. We have been set free. The servant who received 150,000 years of forgiveness, his whole life changed. Did he even notice? Did anything change? When our sins are forgiven, when our chains are broken, when our burdens are relieved, do we too carry on like nothing happened? Sure seems like we serious Lutherans ought to be whooping it up in the aisles. When our sins are forgiven, we ought to be rejoicing like there is no tomorrow. And wouldn't that be fun to try sometime? And this forgiveness, it can't just be given once. Once is not enough. We need to hear from God over and over again that we are forgiven. We need to hear our sins are forgiven as we confess in this community. We need to hear this forgiveness when God speaks to us in our silence. We need the bread and the wine again and again to be strengthened and nourished to fight our sinful nature again. And we need to hear God's forgiveness in the dark of the night, when those tapes of the horrible things that we've done play over and over and over again in our heads. We pray that God opens our hearts to accept that forgiveness so freely offered, to rejoice that sinner though we are changed. For it's then that we too can forgive others, just like God has forgiven us. So maybe, just maybe, Barbara Brown Taylor is right. Sinners do have all the advantages. We have a gracious God who loves us, saint and sinner though we be. We have a God who does not ration out forgiveness one drop at a time, but saturates us with it. Saturates us with forgiveness until it becomes our way of life too. Part of who we are, who God made us to be.